request your prayers this evening.
Yes.
I felt some weeks ago that the Lord gave me a message and told me to preach it here.
Yeah.
The Lord knows who we all are this morning. He knows your name. I may not know your name or remember your name, but the Lord knows your name. And I'd like for you to listen to God's word this morning, this evening. Mm-hmm. I am grateful and honored to be able to share God's word.
Amen.
I've been given the responsibility and the privilege to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
That's true.
And the gospel is the most powerful force in this world.
Yes.
I believe in it. I believe in what I'm preaching this evening. I believe it's true. I believe it works. And I believe it's for each one of us.
All right.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says what I just said. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Yes.
But unto us which are saved, preaching of the cross is the power of God.
All right.
For it is written, and he's quoting from the Old Testament, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now he's talking about, we're going to talk this evening about two kinds of wisdom. We're going to talk about the kind of wisdom in the world, and we're going to talk about the true wisdom that comes from God and can be given to you and can be in your life. And you're going to walk in your life according to one of these kinds of wisdom.
Yeah.
You're either going to walk according to the wisdom of this world, and we're going to show you by God's word this evening how that ends up and just how your life is when you walk that way.
Yeah.
But we're going to also endeavor to show you this evening that if you take God's wisdom into your life and you live by it, I'm going to show you what that picture looks like, both now and in the end of your life and in the forever after.
Yeah.
Because we can see it. It's all here in God's word. And we can see how it's lived out. We don't have to be dumb clucks tonight and not know what goes on in the lives of people. We can see how things end up in people's lives. How they end up, how their family life goes.
Right.
And you can say, well, they took the way of the world's wisdom. And this is what it did for them. We can look at it and take notice and say, I don't have to live my life like that. But the people out in the world this evening think that what we're preaching is a lot of foolishness. They think that we don't really know stuff tonight. They think that we're kind of dumb and kind of ignorant. But God says that foolishness that the world calls foolishness, it's the power of God. And you're going to find out if you'll believe it, if you'll take it, if you'll receive it. It is a power that will transform you. It will give that kind of lasting victory like Brother Matt told us about. Where he said, I didn't just get a fix, I got complete victory. It does that for people. It'll change your life, it'll change your marriage, it'll change your very way of thinking.
Yeah.
It'll change your behavior, it'll break habits.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about this evening, is this gospel. And he said, I'm going to destroy the wisdom of the wise. And that's what happens in our hearts when we take God's wisdom. The wisdom that we walked according to formerly in our lives, it's destroyed.
Yes.
And we see it as fallen as it is.
Yes.
We can see it and look at it and say, well, that was nothing. Well, that was wrong. And so we can look at it this evening. He can bring that to nothing.
Yes.
And he's done that too. And I was thinking of how that many times in science, if you'll take the time to not just take what they're giving you in public schools and colleges today concerning science and the origin of man, if you'll take and go into it, you can discover that there are Christian scientists who have found things that confound the evolutionists.
That's right.
They have found proof that what the evolutionists are talking about is just so, so not science. It's unscientific. Yeah. And if you can find these things today, if you'll search for them, you can know that there is a creator, which everything that you're being taught in school, if you're going to a public school or college today, everything is geared to undermine your faith in God.
That's right.
And that He really created this world, and He created you, and He set in motion the processes and the cycles that are still there, and they're there because of His word.
Yes.
And they fly in the face of all of the stuff that they're trying to teach you. All you have to go out and you're being taught about all this climate change and global warming. There's one verse in the Bible that you can just take and say, look, this is what it says. This is what you can see going on. And it says, as long as the earth remains, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, day and night shall not perish. I mean, God's wisdom in His word is right there and right there to show everybody.
Yeah.
Well, He said, talking about when you ask the question, where is something? What it means is, how does this stand? How is this holding up? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Just one Christian standing up in the world, victorious in your life, harmonious in your family relation and in your marriage, victorious and living a clean, godly life, that puts to naught the foolishness of this world. It shows them for what it is.
Yes.
That God's way is still the best way.
Yes.
And just the inner peace that we have as Christians,
that
shows that the wisdom of this world is not accomplishing that in the lives of these young people who are taking their lives. Proof. We have proof this evening that the wisdom of this world has failed our young children and our young people. It is not bringing the happiness and the success and the prosperity that they promise. It's not bringing it to young people. But if you will seek God tonight, no matter who you are, what nationality, where you come from, what you look like, what family that you come from, what socioeconomic status you're in, whether you have a job or whether you don't, whether you can sing or whether you can't, whether you're beautiful or whether you're not, God has a life for you. And He'll satisfy you, and He'll make you at peace with yourself and with God. And the world cannot accomplish that. It cannot bring that to you. It will never bring that to you. It has never brought that to anyone. But God, through the gospel and the life of Jesus Christ given for you, can bring that to you. This simple story. I have heard about a story ever since I was a child, how He came to save lost sinners, even though they were defiled. How He left His home in glory, bearing grief that was not heard.
That's right.
It was such a wonderful story. I believed it, every word.
Amen.
And now my soul has been set free.
Amen.
Since the Savior lifted me. Remember the rest of it, but anyway, good thing I didn't try to sing it. It says, this is my burden tonight, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Okay, with all of their wisdom, with all of their learning, with all the science, with all the technology, all of that does not help a person to know God. And knowing God is everything to you as a person.
That's right.
It is our life.
Yes.
Knowing God and understanding who He is, knowing His love, Mm-hmm. Did you know the wisdom of this world is going to blind your eyes to the love of God?
That's right. Amen.
You will not know His unfathomable love, His personal love for you, if you follow the wisdom of this world. You won't understand that He cares. You don't know how deeply He cares. Mm-hmm. I'll show you this. The world by wisdom knew not God. Ephesians chapter 4. And he was telling here the people from Ephesus, and they were mostly Gentiles up there in the lower part of Asia. In Ephesus, he went there, they worshipped the goddess Diana. These were people who were steeped in idolatry and paganism. Other gods, myths, all of these things, they worshipped this. They had witchcraft. They had books of witchcraft and sorcery. He was speaking to these people who had come out from that. They pitched their books and their idols in the fire and burned them up. And the gospel, the center, the Ephesus became the center for the gospel in that region of the world. And they sent out missionaries, and the truth began to go out from the city of Ephesus. And this book was written by Paul to these people. And he was saying to them, verse 17, chapter 4, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having, and that word vanity means foolishness.
Yeah.
It's talking about people who go after the wisdom of the world, which God has declared is foolishness. He said, don't walk after the foolishness of the other people around you, having the understanding darkened. You know what, to have something darkened, if you've got a room with windows, and you put something over the room, darkening shades you can put. You can put foil on those windows, which I think looks tacky, but anyway, people do it.
Yeah.
And it'll darken your room.
Darken the room. Yeah.
Satan darkens people's understanding,
wow,
so
man.
His light cannot shine through. Because he knows if you can ever once get the light of God down in your life, it'll transform you. It will illuminate.
Yeah.
It'll show him for who he is and all the lies that he's telling you. And it'll show up who God is and how much he loves you and cares for you and what he can do for you. And all the glories that are really truly there and rich and real and will satisfy you and make you peaceful inside. When the light of God comes in, it will reveal all those things.
Yeah.
And so what Satan does in your life, as soon as you're born, he tries to get that darkened. And he'll use people, and he'll use incidents, and he'll use all kinds of stuff to try to darken your understanding.
Yes.
Even if you have parents that love you and teach you about God, Satan's going to be there to try to keep you from getting it.
Mm-hmm.
You can grow up in a child of God's home with a preacher for a parent and not ever get it. Not ever get the story of salvation.
Yeah.
He knows that if once you get it,
right,
it's so powerful.
Amen.
That it will just, it will fulfill your life.
Yes.
Once you get it. Lord, my burden is that people will get it.
Amen.
That our children will get it.
Amen.
That our grandchildren
That's
will get
yes.
it. That they'll be transformed by the gospel, the power, because it will do it.
Yes.
But the thing is, Satan darkens your understanding. That you can read about that 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We may go there. But having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them.
Yeah.
When people don't know God. And remember, the world by wisdom did not know God. So when you don't know God, you're alienated from the life of God.
Yeah, that's right.
And His life. It's your life. Without, what is it? He that has the Son hath life.
Right.
He that hath not the Son doesn't have life. If you're alienated from the life of God, and here's what the word alienated means. It means someone who is alienated, they abhor everything spiritual and pure. Who does that sound like? Sounds like one of your college professors, doesn't it?
Yes.
They abhor everything spiritual and pure, everything that has a tendency to lay any restraint on their vicious passions. That's what it means to be alienated from the life of God. And that's what is going on today. That's what's going on in the wisdom of this world.
Yes.
You have the loose living that's being pushed upon our young people,
right,
and older people too.
Yes.
But it's a way of no restraint.
Right.
No restraint.
That's right. Yeah.
And you see that just being pushed upon,
yes,
people,
yeah,
today. It's because they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them. They go, one scripture says, without a vision, the people perish.
Yeah.
That word perish, it means to lay off restraints and walk naked. That's what that means. That's exactly what's happening in our world. People are casting off the restraints and living loose lives, impure, vicious passions, abnormal things in their lives, alternate lifestyles. That's in the wisdom of this world.
That's right.
And because they don't know God.
Yes.
It says that the ignorance that's in them and the blindness of their hearts is what causes that. Who being past feeling. Now that word past feeling, it means no sense of shame. Devoid of pain. I can do this to you and it doesn't hurt me, even though I'm hurting you. You see this happening all the time. Devoid of pain, desperate, and without hope of reformation. That's what people are like today. There is a hopelessness there's a hopelessness in a depth like I've never seen,
yes,
out there in the world today in very young people.
That's right.
It's because they're walking after the wisdom of this world.
Mm-hmm.
They're following the counsel of the ungodly.
Yes.
That's what's causing all of this mental torture, anxiety, where I have to take drugs to even be able to function in a normal situation, to be able to go to work, to be able to go to school. I've got to take something. I've got to take an upper or a downer, whatever it means. I don't know all about that because I have peace.
Yeah.
That's from God. I don't need this world's temporary fixes.
Yes.
I have troubles. I have times where I feel ugly and I don't feel like that I'm worth anything. I have all those things. Yes, I do. But I have a Savior.
All right. All right.
Who comes to me and comforts,
yes,
me. And He knows me and He loves me anyway.
Yes.
Even though many times I don't feel like I'm up there. But I know He loves me.
That's right.
That's a wonderful, wonderful knowledge from day to day.
Yes.
To just go on. Yes, He knows me. He knows everything about me, but He so cares about me.
Yes.
Now that kind of wisdom also degenerates this way. James chapter 3. Verse 15. Well, let's start with 13. Who is a wise man? Well, that's what the question that Paul asked. Where is the wise? I'm looking around in this world and I'm thinking, where are the wise men? Well, here, I believe James is kind of looking a little closer and he's looking in among maybe the people of God. And he said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Where are the truly wise people here? And he's calling for qualifications. He's calling for, you show me proof that you're wise. Now, if you're following the wisdom of this world, it's not going to have the same fruit as the wisdom that's from above. Look what he says here.
Yes.
Let the wise man, or whoever professes to be wise, let him show out of a good conversation or a godly life, good behavior. You let a man that's wise show it to us by his behavior. And it'll show whether you're wise or not. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, wisdom, true wisdom, has a quality about it that is very different from the worldly wisdom. true wisdom has a meekness and a humility.
Yes.
That you, when you have true wisdom, you have that in your life. Mm-hmm. You own up to your needs, and you acknowledge truth whenever you see it.
Yes.
That's what meekness of wisdom is. Mm-hmm. What that does, it keeps you from being offended. Because you're not looking for someone to bolster you and to validate you all the time. You're open.
Yes.
You know your needs, know your weaknesses. Yes. You acknowledge them. And when you're that way as a person, did you know that's the very threshold of wisdom? That's where wisdom starts, is I reverence and honor and fear God.
Yes.
But I know myself and my weakness, and I acknowledge it. That's the entrance into real wisdom. The world doesn't have that. What is the world's wisdom doing? You are something. You are special. They push this all the time. And I want to ask you this evening, is that bringing peace to the young people? They pushed it for 50 years. 25 years anyway, I know. Dream. Achieve your dreams. Dream. Believe. Hope. Go for your dreams. And we have all of this trouble. We have all of this drug abuse. We have all of this suicide. What is going on? They're being pushed. This, you're special. You're okay. I'm okay. Everybody's okay. They're being pushed this. Why don't they have that peace? It's because it's this world's wisdom.
That's right.
It can never bring that.
Right.
That wisdom doesn't have that humility with it that brings peace and acceptance with whatever God sends me in my life. I just say amen to God. You know, that's the real source of peace.
Yeah.
Is that I give God permission to create my day every day. And he's in charge of my life.
Yeah.
And I yield my life to him. And you say, that's not what I want to do. I'm in control of my life. When you're in control of your life, you don't have peace.
Right.
I want to say that again.
That's right.
When you're in control of your life, you don't have,
peace. That's right.
But this peace is when there's a meekness here that characterizes wisdom. He says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. I want to tell you something. Real wisdom in your relationships with each other will bring peace.
Yes.
And it'll end strife. The real wisdom of God. But I want to tell you, this world's wisdom is dividing up people.
That's true.
Do we have better racial relationships in the world today because of the teachings of this world?
Yes.
No, we don't. We don't have it. It's dividing up people. But when we love God's word and we bring it into our lives, it brings peace with brothers and sisters of different colors.
Yeah.
It'll just do it. It just does it.
Amen.
I mean, you see it right here tonight. You see what God, there's no difference. There's no difference.
Yes.
God puts that in us because of his wisdom.
That's right.
He said, if you have bitter envying, if there's strife, you know there's an absence of God's wisdom. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly. And I want you to think about it as in levels. Earthly, like being maybe the top level. Earthly, like just being, it's just simple human experience, okay? This is purely human. But the wisdom from down below, it causes everything to disintegrate lower and lower. It starts with everything just kind of human, but it goes deeper. It goes lower, sensual. It goes to where people are only living for their fleshly gratifications, giving in to what's fun, what feels good, what I want to do. That's sensual. And that always degrades very quickly into devilish.
Yeah.
Earthly, sensual, devilish. That's the path of earthly wisdom.
Yes. That's true.
Now I want to show you something else about earthly wisdom. Back to 1 Corinthians, now to chapter 2. You know what earthly wisdom caused people to do to Jesus? Let's read it right here. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 8, verse 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Sometimes it's not really revealed and you have to seek for it. Well, it's the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He ordained this life that I'm talking about before you were ever made. He has a plan, a purpose for you. He says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now here's how far down man's wisdom came. In man's wisdom, they crucified Jesus.
That's true.
And it's the same spirit that works in people today. Man's wisdom is what made people want to kill Jesus. And when people today follow that, look what Jesus said. John chapter 16. I think I may be wrong on that. Let me find this. John chapter 15. And John chapter 16. 15 and 18 says, if you were of the world, verse 19. Well, let's start with 18. If the world hates you. Now listen, young people. If you're raised in a godly home and you've been taught that there's a different way of life, a way of looking, a way of dressing, a way of acting, a way of talking, and you go out into this world and you're different, you know what's going to happen? The world is going to hate you. It's because they're walking according to this wisdom that's being taught to them. And Jesus told us, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Why did they hate Jesus? He was sweet, he was kind, he was good, but you know people hated him. And if you live for Jesus, people will hate you.
Yeah.
They'll ignore you. They'll try to hurt you many times. I'm talking about people who really are living according to this world's wisdom. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they'll persecute you.
Yeah.
If they have kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. Now, chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They'll put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. The Apostle Paul. Before he was saved, he thought he was serving God. I wonder
That's
if
right.
Jesus was talking about him and knew him at this very moment. I think he did. He was thinking about Paul right here. And thinking, there's a young man that's going to kill the saints, but I've got a plan for him. Because, yeah, I don't know, how old was he? He must have been contemporary in age with Jesus. I just wonder about that when I read this. He's going to think that he's doing God's service. And listen to this in verse 3. Here's what I've been preaching to you about. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father. If you don't really know God, did you know you'll even persecute people who do know God?
Oh, yeah.
It's that way that kind of wisdom disintegrates. Earthly, sensual, devilish. You actually get into the persecuting realm of hating those that are good. You say, oh, I would never do that. People do that. People
That's
today
right.
are doing that. They hate people who are good, and it's the same spirit that crucified Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I'm having trouble forgetting things, so pray for me.
Lord,
I want to give you everything the Lord had given me. But maybe that's enough. Maybe the Lord's done.
Yeah.
I'm really concerned about all of you this morning, this evening. I want you to take God's wisdom.
Yes.
I want you to know that His word is true.
Yes.
If you seek Him with all your heart, if you seek Him first, and you give everything to Him, I'm here to tell you that He'll give you everything back.
That's right.
And more.
Yes, that's
right. I've proved it. When I was younger, I gave all my hopes and my dreams of everything to the Lord. I sort of kind of wasted my life on the Lord. And I want to tell you, the Lord's given everything back.
Amen.
He's given many of those dreams.
Amen.
And those hopes, He's given them to me. I surrendered it to Him. You know, I remember my dad saying the same thing. But you know, when you take the way of this cross that seems so foolish to your own mind and to the world, and when you take it and you say, I'm going to go with you, Jesus, and you seek Him, I want to tell you, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
That's right.
Seek Him. He'll reward you. He will. He will answer prayers for you. He will, He will work things out for you.
Yes.
Things that you really, really want. Give them over to the Lord. And then just wait on His time.
Amen.
He'll give you the best.
Yes.
He won't. He's not about making you have a difficult and a boring and an awful life. That's not what God's about. I want to tell you something. He loves you. He knows you. He knows what's best for you. You give your life to Him, and He will work things out for you. He'll work out your future. Better than you could ever plan it out for yourself. You just be willing to just serve Him. Do whatever it takes, like we heard this morning. Just whatever. And you say, well, what is that? Just what you know right now. Just take step by step with Him. Do what you know right now. Do it unto Him. Don't do it to please me or your mom or your grandpa or whoever. You do it for Jesus. Love Him. Serve Him. Follow Him. Listen to Him.
Amen.
That's the true wisdom. He'll guide you.
Mm-hmm.
And your life will always go up and up. I didn't read. Okay, thank you, Lord. I did not read the rest of James 3 there. And I want to finish.
No.
I'm going to finish with it. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure.
Yes.
I want to tell you something. The light of God's wisdom is always pure.
Amen.
It's free from everything that contaminates. It's free from the corruption that's in this world through us.
Yes.
And He'll make your life pure. You can be pure today. You can start out your marriage pure.
Amen.
You can be pure in your mind. You don't have to be contaminated by the filth in this world. It can be all around you. Just like a ship in the middle of the ocean. As long as that ship's in the water, and the water's all around it, it's good. When the water gets in the ship, that's when it's bad.
Yeah.
You can be like that ship. You can be in this whole world of corruption and lust, and you can keep the water out of your life.
Amen.
Through the wisdom of God.
Through the wisdom of God.
Through making the choices
that
God says, don't do that. Don't involve yourself in that. Don't read that. Don't watch that. That's God's wisdom.
That's wisdom.
Guiding your life, and it keeps the water out of your ship. It's first pure, then it's peaceable. People who don't go according to God's wisdom, they're always in a big conflict. You ever see somebody that's got to have a problem? They're not following God's wisdom. God's wisdom. You know what God's wisdom makes you do? It makes you think of others before yourself.
Amen.
In all your relationships,
the
Lord's wisdom gives you understanding of the other person so that you know how to react and respond to them.
Yes.
Man's wisdom does not give you that. Man's wisdom says you look out for number one. Always. Number one is you. Look out for you. That's the wisdom of this world. But God's wisdom says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You respond to other people as
That's
God
great.
Gives you understanding of their needs and sensitivities. Gentle. God's wisdom in a person will make them gentle.
Yeah.
And easy to get along with. Easy to be entreated.
Amen.
As a parent, God can take you from being unapproachable, where your children don't want to even, they're not close to you. God's wisdom will take you to where they want to be close to you and they want to share with you. In scripture in Ecclesiastes, it says, a man's wisdom makes his face to shine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And one of the interpretations of that is it makes a man where that he's not so unapproachable. It makes him, it turns him from harshness to gentleness.
Yes, yes.
That's what real wisdom does.
Yes, all right.
It's full of mercy and good fruits.
Yes.
Wisdom that's from above is without partiality.
Yes.
Without racial prejudices.
Mm-hmm.
Without making a difference and discriminating between rich and poor, blind and deaf and handicapped. It makes a love and a harmony between all kinds of people.
That's true.
The wisdom of this world, they're pushing it. Coexist. You ever see that? Live and let live. I'm okay, you're okay. But I want to ask you, where is the peace that they're talking about? It's just simply not there. There are more riots. There is more violence. With all of that program being pushed, tolerance,
yes.
Double standard, big time, double standard out there. They preach tolerance, but they're not tolerant. But where is the real tolerance and the real gentleness and the real mercy and the real good fruits of kindness? Where is that to be found? It's to be found in God's wisdom. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. At the seat and at the bottom of every move of men out there in the world that are following wisdom is hypocrisy. There's a big double standard. There's a big double standard in the global warming thing. Big double standard in the people that preach it and what they do in their lives.
That's right.
There's a big double standard in the abortion industry.
Yeah.
Big double standard of making a big show of saving little tiny babies and then killing little tiny babies. Same people. There's a big double standard out there, but in Christ, in the wisdom of Christ, it's without hypocrisy.
Yeah.
God's true people are true people. They're genuine. They're what they say they are, they live. My dad was a preacher, and I can say of him, he was what he said he was.
That's right.
He was at home what he preached.
That's true.
That doesn't mean that he was a perfect man, that he never made mistakes. I've seen my dad make mistakes. I've seen him humble down.
That's
and
right.
Say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have spoken to you that way.
I've seen him humble to the whole congregation.
Lord, help me. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I want to tell you something. The Lord's gospel is not here to just make us feel good, but it's to enter our lives and produce something out of our lives.
Amen.
That endures through the generations.
Yes.
Fruit.
Yes.
Beautiful attributes in your life that one day your grandchild is going to look back and say, my grandfather did what he said would do. He'll put that quality in your life as well. Amen.